Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. There are more and more voices showing a little bit anxiety when it comes to supporting Ukraine. I especially talk about voices in parts of Europe. And today I like to focus on Western Europe and especially Germany. And I want to show you the true facts, the true circumstances, the true developments, leading to the question, is Russia going to win or lose against Ukraine? And finally, does the Bible have anything to say about this? I'd like to start with an article by Politico, dated March 3, and they ask the very pertinent question, what actually is a strategy when it comes to Ukraine? Because there doesn't seem to be a strategy. The article says, on the surface, there's a display of Western unity with Ukraine as it repels Russia's punishing invasion. But the show of solidarity comes against a backdrop of growing strain as the transatlantic alliance works to remain in lockstep while grappling with the fact that the war has no end in sight. There is no strong leader that's really holding the Europeans together. And without the emergence of Germany as a strong leading actor, we are going to start to see more problems within the alliance. Part of Biden's task is managing the emerging divide in Europe over how to end the war. Some voices on the continent are urging peace talks now to limit the human and economic toll. Scholz and Macron have urged Zelensky to consider negotiations with Putin to bring the fighting to a close. And Macron last month said that it has never been the position of France to crush Russia, suggesting that it would be acceptable for Putin to remain in power and Russia to retain its military power if the fighting stopped. Zelensky has vowed not to negotiate until Russia has abandoned all of the Ukrainian territory it has seized, a declaration that includes Crimea, which Moscow forcibly annexed in 2014. But U.S. officials have sent signals to Kyiv that trying to retake Crimea would be difficult and perhaps a mistake, potentially crossing a red line for Putin that would trigger an escalation. Most intelligence analysts on both sides of the Atlantic believe the war, as currently fought, could stretch for years. That would end up draining each nation's military and economy. So how long can that go on? We have just been informed that worldwide military spending is at an all-time high, mostly because of the Russian-Ukrainian war. Breitbart wrote on April 24, figures released Monday show $2.24 trillion was outlaid globally in 2022, with Europe leading the way due to Ukraine's demands for continued supplies of battlefield hardware. There was a 13% rise in Europe, the steepest in at least 30 years. Military spending in Ukraine surged more than six times to $44 billion in 2022. Meanwhile, Russian military spending grew by an estimated 9.2% in 2022 to around $86.4 billion. And then the Associated Press added on April 24, the three largest arms spenders were the United States, China, and Russia, who between them accounted for 56% of global expenditure. And as I said, much has to do with the war between Russia and Ukraine. So how long can those countries continue to produce weapons to give them to Ukraine, with all the domestic economic problem they have at home? AFP wrote on April 14, that Brazil's President La Silva has demanded of the United States to cease and desist from supporting Ukraine militarily. And he also said that the EU should start speaking about peace. Now, Switzerland is taking a very unusual position, and this is reported by Deutsche Welle on April 24. It goes like this. Swiss ambassador to Berlin, Paul-René Seeger, said he was surprised by the extent of the criticism that is raining down on his country over Switzerland's ban on re-exporting ammunition for Germany's Leopard tanks to Ukraine. Germany has delivered dozens of the Leopard tanks to the country together with around 60,000 pounds of ammunition. However, Berlin would need Switzerland's approval to deliver another 12,000 anti-aircraft shots, which were made in Switzerland. The impression is being given that Switzerland is complicit if Putin wins the war, but 12,000 rounds will not influence, let alone decide the war, Seeger told the paper. He pointed to Switzerland's long-running tradition of neutrality, which is one of the basic principles of Swiss foreign policy. And then the article goes on to say, until Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Germany had a very similar policy about not sending weapons to hot conflicts, as Switzerland often faced criticism in 2022 for its perceived reluctance to provide weaponry for Kyiv. But you see, Germany has, in its history, violated that policy many times. So the reason why they didn't want to send weapons to Kyiv was not because of their policy. There were other reasons, as I will show you in a moment. There is a unique, I would say almost like a toxic relationship between Germany and Russia, as MSN wrote on April 8th. That's what they stated. Over the past 75 years, the Germans have rebuilt Europe in their own image. Public support for Ukraine's fight for survival is falling. Half the country, this is Germany, half the country no longer supports sending arms, and 4 out of 5 think it is more important to end the war quickly than for Ukraine to win. German trade with Russia almost halved by volume in 2022, but the value of imports actually rose by 6.5%. That is trade between Russia and Germany. This means that last year Germany alone contributed more than 30 billion pounds to Putin's war chest. Then the article says anti-Americanism has surged. So why does Germany still have such a toxic relationship with autocracy? The short answer is because that was the price for German reunification. The fact that the Federal Republic was able to absorb East Germany without violence was seen as a miracle made possible by Gorbachev's reluctance to use military force. The quid pro quo came with the disastrous Ostpolitik of Gerhard Schröder and Angela Merkel, which left Germany dependent on Russia energy and virtually defenseless. Now, under a new German government, being less friendly towards Russia, this might change. But in the meantime, there are these threats from Russia, particularly directed against Germany. And the German public is not about to just dismiss these threats as hyperbole. They are very concerned. And here's an article by Bild Online, dated April 21. It's another attack by Putin's friend and ex-Russian President Dmitry Medvedev after Germany's defense minister Boris Pistorius said on Thursday that he considered limited attacks by Ukraine on Russian territory in the fight against the invasion acceptable. Medvedev freaked out again on Twitter, this time his destination, Berlin. The German defense minister certainly envies the frame and the fame of the warlords of the Third Reich, he said. The German who wants to attack Russia must be prepared for our parade in Berlin. It's not the first time that the ex-Russian president and Putin friend has threatened Germany. In March, he spoke openly of dropping bombs on Berlin. Reason for the threatening gestures? A possible arrest of the Kremlin ruler Vladimir Putin after an arrest warrant was issued by the International Criminal Court. Medvedev at the time. The current head of a nuclear state arrives on the territory of, say, Germany, and is arrested. What is that? A declaration of war against the Russian Federation. Should an arrest take place in Germany, all our means, rockets and so on, will fly at the Bundestag, the Chancellery and so on, he said. And as I said, the Germans take these threats very, very seriously. Now, from the context, it didn't appear that Pistorius, the German defense minister, advocated a German attack on Russia. He spoke about an attack by Ukraine. But Medvedev seems to have used that statement, suggesting that Germany's delivery of weapons to Ukraine makes it complicit if Ukraine were to attack Russia on Russian soil. And this is even more interesting, as allegedly, Ukraine is preparing for a big bang strike to retake Crimea, which has been in Russian hands since 2014, according to The Sun, dated April 22, 2023. Military experts seem to think that the key for Ukraine's victory in the war against Russia is winning Crimea. But as we have just heard, many are totally against even an attack on Crimea by Ukraine, trying to get that back. And so we shouldn't be surprised that in America we have the same kind of sentiments. LifeSite News wrote on March 17, a new poll released Thursday verifies a significant trend among Republican voters against deeper involvement in the Ukraine war. Only 42% of Republicans support providing weapons and financial support to Ukraine, meaning a full 58% do not. And so the time will come when the United States will cease supporting Ukraine militarily. And then Germany and core Europe will follow suit, bringing about the biblically prophesied unification of Russia and Ukraine in some way, because that is indeed prophesied. And that also means that it doesn't appear that Ukraine will win this war against Russia and become a member of NATO, become a member of the EU, just the opposite. Somehow unification between Russia and Ukraine will take place, and which means that Russia is not going to lose that war against Ukraine. For more information, please read our free booklet, The 10 European Revivals of the Ancient Roman Empire, which addresses this very issue insofar as the unification, the collaboration between Russia and Ukraine is concerned. So thank you very much for listening. Until next time, this is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.